Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Good evening and welcome back to the Darkness Radio special here on 100.3 K-Talk. Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show here with you every Saturday and Sunday from 9 p.m. to midnight. Thanks for joining us and join us live in the chat room. You can go to the chat room by going to darknessradio.com, click on the chat live link, and you can join us along with a bunch of other paranormal fans, people that are like-minded and looking to share and experience the world of the supernatural. So join us in there and be a part of the show with us. We can check out your questions, be a part of the action. We'll also take your guest ideas and tips. You can always email those over to us at dave at darknessradio.com or tim at darknessradio.com and give us feedback, too. Let us know what you guys think of the show. Go to our website. There's also links to our MySpace pages so you can join into the army and be friends of the darkness. Our next guest we've got up here, we just got off the phone with the lovely Marianne Winkowski, the real-life ghost whisperer. Marianne, as we know, is skilled at being able to tell you if you have a ghost in your house, and she does it kind of remotely without being a psychic or a medium. And I found an interesting gentleman, Tim, to be our guest here for the third hour.
I was going
to
say, I'm not an interesting gentleman, so I don't know who you found.
Our guest is David Franklin Farkas, and he is a professional spiritual healer. He does remote energetic healing work with buildings, people, and businesses. He's a technician of the sacred, and sacred means secret or that which cannot normally be seen. So let's welcome for the first time into the darkness on the edge of town, Mr. Farkas. Good evening, sir.
How are you today?
Doing well. Thanks a lot for joining us. We appreciate you being here on the show.
My pleasure.
You know, I was interested. I had one of our listeners a while back sent your lead to me and said, you know, you should really have this guy on. He's very interesting with what he does. And I thought it'd be kind of an interesting bookend to tonight's show, talking to Marianne Winkowski with her abilities. As a ghost whisperer, she can see the spirits in the house, but she can't interact with them. She can't do anything, but she can see where they're at, almost like a surveillance camera. She claims not to be psychic or sensitive in that sense, and she can't really, you know, she doesn't really put a title on what she does, but she needs to be there in front of the spirit, dealing with the spirit one-on-one, much like the TV show Ghost Whisperer. Now, with what you do something a little separately, right? Now, you actually, you can do remote healings or cleansings. And now, are you a psychic or a sensitive yourself?
I am. And the sensitivities have changed and expanded over time, but yes. And I started out as a hands-on healer working on people. And since my training was with two people that were essentially shamans, we always did things that had to do with clearing spaces and that kind of stuff.
Well, help us out. For the listeners that are new to the show here on K-Talk, what is a shaman and what kind of abilities do they do?
The word shaman is from a Siberian dialect, and it means the one who can see in the dark. In other words, the one who can see things that are normally unseen to other people. And actually, the technician of the sacred moniker that I use is an alternate translation, is the one who can change things that are in the dark. So there are shamans or medicine men in every tradition all over the world. People who in various ways can go into an altered reality and not only see things, but manipulate them, do things there. And that's the closest description I can come up with to the kind of work that I do. You know, there's a lot of other words that I get called all kinds of things.
I bet. I have a couple ex-wives. You'd be amazed at the names I've been called.
Yeah, me too.
Well, with what you do, though, you can do it in a remote viewing sense, and explain again right. For our listeners, what is exactly remote viewing and how does that work?
Well, remote viewing is a term that comes from government programs where they heard that the Soviets were using psychics for spies, essentially. They would sit in a room and get information. So our government decided they needed to do it too. And they came up with a protocol to teach people and essentially found that while some people are talented at it, anyone can be taught to look at objects, at people or places at a distance and get accurate information. It's a skill that can be taught. And so as I've developed the work that I do and I started reading about remote viewing, I realized that some of the things that I do are very similar to remote viewing. And it's a term that a lot of people use. But essentially, it's being able to, in some way, sense what's going on in another location.
Now, are you actually seeing into these locations? Are you seeing it with your mind's eye, would you say? Or are you, in a sense, astral projecting and putting yourself there?
That's always the question, because those are two different modes of working. The experience most of the time for me is remote viewing, is that I'll see it, or just to add another term to this, I use some techniques that come from dowsing. And dowsing, while it's associated mostly with water, can be used to get information about almost anything. So in dowsing, you learn to ask questions that can be answered yes or no. And you use a tool of some sort as a biofeedback device to tap into the information that a psychic would get by seeing or hearing, but you don't need to be able to see or hear. You can use a pendulum or a dowsing rod or any number of other things. And somebody asked me to speak at dowsing conferences, and I realized that a whole bunch of the things I were doing, other people were doing. I just didn't know it. And I started expanding my repertoire of ways to get information. So I do a lot of paper and pencil kinds of things. I have graphs, I have lists, I draw pictures of the house without being able to see it. I get pictures of the house from the people I'm working with, and I mark them up. I can see my hand will draw where the spirits are, where the vortexes are, that kind of stuff.
So are you, in a sense, channeling then?
Well,
or is it a form of automatic writing? I mean, there just seems like you're touching on all different aspects of communication.
I get data any way that I can work out that I can get information quickly and easily, I will use. So I'm constantly running into people that do things differently and going, oh, I never thought of doing it that way. Let's see how that fits with what I already know and how I already work. So there's an element of it that's like automatic writing, but what's the difference between automatic writing and channeling? You know, other than people who step out of the way and let someone else come into their body that are doing a full possession channeling, most channels are still in their body, and then they're just giving you the information.
Let's step back a little bit here, too. Let me get some background information on you. How did you come to realize that you had these abilities, and what drove you to start doing this kind of work? I mean, this isn't something you just wake up.
My usual joke is my junior high school guidance counselor said, you know, you may not believe this, but someday, which obviously is not the case. My first understanding that there was something going on was when I was 6 or 7 years old, and my dad, and when I came up from school, my dad said, what happened to 2 o'clock? You got hit. What happened? Because he felt it. And I realized years later that my dad knew a whole lot more than he.
So your dad could sense when you were in danger or hurt?
Yeah, he could sense that. He also could. I always thought he was a bureaucratic genius, but I think he was a much higher level metaphysician than anyone in the family understood. He could decide something was going to happen, and somehow it happened.
Well, see, now that's got to be a little frightening as you're hitting puberty in teenage years, right? You don't want dad in your head knowing everything you're doing.
Well, you know, I've got a 13-year-old, and when she realized that I can tell whether she's okay or not, and I can usually locate her pretty accurately.
Oh, see, now that's what I need. I've got 3 daughters, and I'm going to have to start checking on that real soon here. There's going to be issues with boys, so.
Absolutely. So, you know, I figure it would be very funny when the first boy comes to the door. You know, did she tell you what I do and that I always know whether she's okay? You know, but people do that all the time. They just kind of offhandedly go, well, no, that wasn't anything. Especially with your kids. Your DNA is in your kids. You're
right.
Still connected to your kids. So it's a matter of...
Well, you know, maybe you could even put shed a light on this for me, and I've mentioned this in the past on the show about psychic connections. I don't claim to be psychic. I don't ever feel like I've got any kind of psychic ability. But it was about 20 years ago, 21 years ago, on New Year's Eve, I was out driving all my friends home, eyes out. Did you hear that, Tim? I'm creating my own vernacular.
Yeah, he is.
Eyes be out there driving, and driving everybody home, making sure they're getting home safe and sound. I stayed sober cab for the night, and every time I'd pass my parents' street, I would just have these visions of my mom being wheeled out on a gurney to an ambulance.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was like, wow, what the hell's wrong with me? And I just kept doing my deal for the night, and I was supposed to spend the night at my friend's house, and I went over there, and, you know, it was about 2:30 in the morning, and I was restless, couldn't relax. So at 3, I said, dude, I'm going home, and got in my car, drove back. My mom came skittering out into the kitchen, as she was wont to do when I'm, coming in late, make sure I'm okay. She got the hair all messy, one eye pinched closed, looking at me, and everything okay? I'm like, yeah, I just going to have a quick, drink here and then go to bed. She said, well, I'll be right back. I'm going to go to the bathroom, and she turned her on, and whoosh, bam, hit the ground. She went into a grand mal seizure, which she had never had happen before. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, needless to say, my mom ended up going into the hospital the next day. But I had this...
And you were there at the right time.
Right. I had this weird connection with her that both my father and I, my stepfather came running out. We got her in there. But I've never had anything like that since. I mean, is that kind of what you do? I mean, you can get those senses and those feelings. Is that the genetic coding that we're connected to each other?
There are a lot of people doing research on this, and I've got my own ideas. I'm always looking for physicists and new science people to talk to. But let me give you one framework for it.
Please.
If there's a number that keeps coming up, which is 10% or 90%, depending on which side of the equation you're looking at.
Right.
We only use 10% of our brain. But is that true?
No, I know a lot of people that use a lot less than that, David.
Right, but, the point is they can't figure out what's going on in the other 90%. And the human genome, now that they've mapped everything that has to do with the physical body, 90% of it, they don't know what it is. They say it's junk DNA or it's vestigial, but that can't be because nature doesn't work that way. If it had no purpose, it wouldn't exist. It would have disappeared. Physicists talk about there being dark energy and dark matter in the universe.
Right.
They can tell by the mass affecting other objects in space and by the way light bends and a whole bunch of other things that it's got to be there. But it doesn't give off any electromagnetic frequency that our technology or the human senses can pick up, so they call it dark. That's 90% of the matter and energy in the universe. And then when people like me say, I'm working with some sort of energy which is connected to everything, they poo-poo it. I'm like, wait a minute.
Right.
You've only got 10% of everything that you can get a handle on, and you know that 90% of everything is something else, but you're not saying, oh, there's something going on that's been documented for thousands of years in every culture on the planet.
Right.
We should find out what it is. They're saying, oh, that can't be.
Well, let's delve more into that. We have to take our first break here. You're listening to Darkness Radio. Welcome back to the Darkness Radio, Paranormal Radio Show. Our guest this evening is David Farkas, and he is an energy healer. He's able to help cleanse people's homes of spiritual attachments. And we were just kind of talking about his background and where he came from and the abilities that he has. Now, is this something that you think everybody can actually tap into? There's two schools of thought on this, David. Some people say you're born with it. Some people say it can be learned. Or is there a good mix of both?
Well, I think it's like any other skill. Sports, music, anything else. There are people that are talented, and there are people that work hard. And
then there's Tim and I.
If you happen to be talented and you never take lessons and you don't work hard, then, you've got a good ear or whatever your skill is, but you never get really good at it. And if you don't have a lot of talent and you work hard, you'll get good at it anyway. You just won't have the level of talent that someone else would have. But if you happen to come in with talent and work hard for a long time, then you wind up being able to do things that, pretty much nobody else can do. So it's both. And part of what happens with this kind of work is it takes a long, shamanic work is essentially about learning a bunch of skills and understandings, but it's more about knowing that you can go into a situation not knowing what's going to happen, and you can stand, you can stay grounded and do what needs to be done, that you can stay there and listen and take care of things. So in many ways, it's about courage, and it's very much a warrior tradition.
Okay.
So my teachers, you know, essentially set up situations that were off the charts strange and threw me in the deep end of the pool to see how I did. And, you know, they go, oh, he's doing all right, you know. Hey, that was pretty good. You didn't drown. I go, but what was that? Well, you know, and they wouldn't answer any questions because the questions were all from the conscious mind, and the experiences were what was important. And so a lot of people that do paranormal stuff have very strange experiences, and they go, I've had enough now. This is way too weird for me. And they're out of there. And the people who stay and wind up developing skills are the people who are mentored into being able to understand that you can stay there and be with the creepiness or whatever is going on, and then it makes sense, and there are things you can do. So, you know, I've been doing this stuff for 30 years. There are things that I look back on and go, why did I ever continue doing
exactly
experiencing that? But my way of being in the situations was always, oh, that was interesting. I obviously don't know really important things here. I better find someone who can teach me.
Well, let me ask you this. We briefly talked yesterday on the phone, and you were kind of giving me some background. What are your thoughts on the shows like Ghost Hunters, Ghost Hunters International, Dead Famous, Haunting Evidence, Paranormal State? How do you feel these paranormal shows are approaching the paranormal?
Well, I'm excited that there is so much, especially in kids' movies, but in lots of movies and on TV now, that's accurate. So that people are getting information that really is about what the ghost phenomenon is, not about creepy stories and other things, so they can start understanding it. And part of the reason I'm excited about it is that people really are running into it more. As the planet is changing, you know, everybody knows it's changing. Nobody knows exactly what's going to happen around 2012.
Mm-hmm.
But as the planet is changing, a lot of people are calling the phenomenon of seeing more ghosts the thinning of the veil, that there used to be more of a separation between the realms, and people that never would have had the experience are running into it. And, you know, when I do my talks about ghosts, it's really creating a context for the phenomenon and making it make sense. And then I get people to tell their ghost stories. And the ghost story always starts with, you know, I've never told this to anybody.
Or you're going to think I'm crazy.
Right. And when they're done, I ask the rest of the group how many people have had the experience, and they're blown away that half the group has had the experience. And then I'll say, oh, by the way, did this happen too? They go, yeah, how'd you know that? I go, because it's common. So the experiences are common, but people don't know that everybody else is having them because everybody's sitting there going, oh, I can't talk about this. Everyone will think I'm crazy. So there's has been a tremendous stigma, and these programs are getting that stigma washed away in many ways. They're showing that this stuff is real. They're showing that there's scientific evidence that will indicate that things are actually happening.
Help me separate some of the fact from fiction then. You said that, mm-hmm. you know, now you like because they're getting to the real meat of it, not just the scary stories. What were the old views of ghosts, and what do you feel are the accurate views of ghosts?
Well, there are a lot of the stories and religious teachings about ghosts, in my experience, and this is not to challenge anybody's religious beliefs, but in my experience are inaccurate. And people go around with both the creepy stories, because most ghost movies in the past, anyway, have been about scaring people, because it's a good way to scare people. Halloween's about scaring people. It's
right.
Not about understanding that stuff. It's about, you know, horror movies, about being scared. Even the classic Ghostbusters, which was hysterically funny, was thoroughly inaccurate, and it was mostly about demonic activity.
Wait a minute. Ghostbusters was inaccurate? You can't go with a proton pack and capture a ghost, David? You're shattering my illusions. What are your thoughts on Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny, sir? How dare you?
Well, you know, Santa, maybe. I haven't run across the Easter Bunny yet. Yeah. Let's take Ghostbusters as an example. Most of the activity that they show, and it's, you know, it's got priceless lines, like, you know, you hardly ever see this behavior in a major appliance.
Right.
But the stuff they were showing, while it's things that could be real, had nothing to do with ghosts. They had to do with demons, which are totally different phenomena. Ghosts, in my way of looking at things, are the eternal part of human beings. We get bodies for these road trips so we can be on the planet, but the part of us that is going to be around forever, the intelligence...
Did you hear that, Tim? We get bodies for the road trips on this planet. Apparently, I was bargain shopping.
Mine's going to be lean and mean, baby.
I was definitely looking for a low rental here.
Well, my way of looking at it is that you chose what was best for what you decided you wanted to learn this time around.
I wanted to learn how to be a lazy sloth, so I picked this body.
Well done. And I really wanted no hair, because I like the feel of the cold air across my bald scalp.
It's easy maintenance, too.
Yes. Obviously, me too.
Maybe that's it. Maybe I was like a long-haired Adonis in my last life, and it was just too much work. And yeah. In this life, I'm taking a vacation.
That's all right.
All right, David, you're making me feel better about myself. Let's continue.
Where were we?
I don't know. You were just talking about the fact that we picked these bodies as a vessel for us while we're here, kind of doing our road trip.
Right. You know, my sense is there is, in whatever the energy phenomenon is that the universe really is constructed of, there is a place that we, whoever we are in that way, congregate together and decide we're going to come into this space-time experience, this experience of density and duality and struggle, to create experiences for ourselves. And it's like, you know, road trip, hey, you right. should be mom, and you are my brother, and let's mix it up, you know. And then you forget it because the game wouldn't work unless you forgot. And you go around meeting the people that you've already decided to meet to do the stuff that you've already decided that you wanted to do together. And you would think that when the body dies, you would just go back home and it would all work perfectly. But there are a number of phenomena, some of which have to do with people's beliefs, some of which just have to do with weird mechanical mistakes that happen in the universe,
right.
That cause people, when they die, not to go to the light and go home. And then they're kind of software beings stuck in a hardware universe. They no longer have physical density. You know, our bodies look solid, but they're essentially compressed energy.
My body looks a little squishy.
Mine's hardly compressed.
See, Tim, we're just closer to the spiritual realm. That's the deal.
I think
we're
so.
Already ready to transcend.
That's it. So, you know, all of the stuff that I look at in terms of trying to understand ghosts is, okay, why are you here? And what is it, since you're stuck here, why are you doing the things you're doing?
That's a good question. Let's take our second break here. We'll come back and see what you can answer for us on that. You're listening to Darkness Radio. Welcome back to Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. We're talking to David Farkas, and he is actually an energy healer and a house cleaner from afar, if you will, by doing remote. You can get information, and you can go check out the website while the show is going. If you're online with us, go to househealing.com. Again, that's www.househealing.com. You can get some information on David there, figure out a little bit about what he does. And we were just talking about what are ghosts and what are they doing here and what's their purpose. What have you found in the work that you've done here, David?
Well, a lot of it has to do with circumstances. So, you know, if you have a normal death, if there is a moment, either you're sick over a period of time and you go in and out of your body, if you've been with someone who's dying,
right.
They're not present all the time. And that's going back and forth across the veil until mm-hmm. you're ready to leave. And that's,
you know it's funny. It's like a lot of our listeners, they're not there all the time either.
or something happens and you have the out-of-body experience, look down at your body and go, oh, that'll never work again. then you have a way of integrating what happened, look around, the guides are there, and you leave. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no pain once you're out of your body. That's one of the things people really don't understand. As soon as you leave your body, all that stuff's gone. But if there is an extremely sudden death or a death that's very emotional, whether it's being attacked or suicide or something else, but the emotion is what the focus is at that moment, or you have beliefs that affect where you think you're going to go or whether you're going to go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So one of them is if you believe that you are a sinner and you're going to go someplace to be punished, one of the things that I've seen over and over again is you might decide, no, I'm just not leaving. I'll stay here with my buddies in the cemetery because we've all been drinking together and carousing. And a friend of mine was in Ireland and cleared a cemetery, and that's exactly what they told, the ghost told her.
Well, see, now that's interesting to me, and let me talk. You know, as I mentioned on this at the beginning of the show, one of the biggest fears I have, or one of the things that drives me in the world of the paranormal, is the fact that I'm terrified of death. The whole, where do we go? You know, I'm just afraid I'm going to end up rotting in the shell in the ground until whatever happens next. So that's just always freaked me out my whole life. I mean, at the age of 40, I still lay awake nights thinking of that. Here's something that shakes me up. You know, when people try to tell me, oh, no, we go to another place. There's all this beauty. Well, then how come every time we dig up an old cemetery and put up a building, it's just rot with hell and there's ghosts everywhere? That shakes me back to the core of my fear that we are just sitting in our shell and all of a sudden somebody comes in and rousts us and we get pissed and we go try to take back the territory.
If indeed, and there are a lot of them, you know, there are tons of ghosts, if indeed you don't make it to the other side, you're now outside of time, so you lose track of everything and you don't understand what's going on. Most of them don't know they're dead. They're totally confused and lost. And they've got whatever experience they've got. You change that experience by digging the earth up or changing the house or whatever else, and they get upset because they're having an experience, while it's not a physical experience anymore, that they understand as being their life. So,
but doesn't that clue them in that they're not alive anymore? That, hey, there's people living here that don't talk to me?
The first time I asked the question of a ghost, do you know you're dead? The answer I got was, oh, that would explain a lot. And I've gotten that answer over and over again.
Do you think that's where the Talking Heads got their idea for that song, Tim? This is not my beautiful wife.
Yeah.
This is not my beautiful house. Yeah, see, that would be the big clue to me that, you know, if I'm from the 1800s, I'm Pilgrim Joe, and suddenly I've got a hot chick in a mini skirt and half shirt with a belly button ring, I'm going to kind of be clued in that things are not right in Kansas, right?
Well, I don't know. If I'm Pilgrim Joe, everything's all right.
For whatever reason, they really don't seem to get it. Let me give you the...
Do you think they get it, they just can't face it? They're afraid to move to the next judgment part?
No, it really isn't that.
Okay.
Because one of the things I do all the time if I'm driving around, when I pass a cemetery, I open a portal to the light and basically say, anyone who's ready, here are the guides and angels, go for it. And lots of...
Oh, you're good. I can't even talk on my cell phone and drive at the same time. You're opening portals, sending on spirits, and eating a Big Mac on your drive. This is amazing.
Yeah,
Dave.
Well, you know, it's a weird life.
Are you driving with your knees while you're doing that? That's what I want to know.
You know, when I do that, a tremendous number of them just kind of look up and go, oh, what? Huh? You know, and there are angels and guides that are instantaneously giving them a download, and they go, oh, yeah, okay.
Okay, but why did they need David Farkas for this? Isn't that God's job? Isn't that the Lord's job is to say, hey, you're dead, come with me now. You're going to live forever in my heaven.
Well, there's this interesting thing about the angelic realm, and that is that it cannot intervene in the physical without somebody with a physical body asking for the intervention.
Right, but at that point, they're no longer physical. They're ethereal. They're discorporate, right?
I understand that, but if they're confused and they're on the earth plane, somebody needs to initiate the process. It will not, as far as I can tell, it will not normally happen on its own, and that's what this work is about. I'm surprised often how many, if I just open a portal and bring the guides in with the intention of letting the ones that are ready leave, how many will just get it and are ready to go? There are some that are extremely frightened, that have been hiding, you know, they're acting out whatever their life was about, and they need more attention. But a lot of them will just leave. So that's been a fascinating process.
Well, unfortunately, in life here, we are under the constraints of time, and it's running away from us quick. So I want to know, what is a quantum grid restructuring that you do that allows you to help people and clear these properties?
Well, one of the things, about 4 years ago, I had an experience where literally a new guide said to me, "Oh, we see you're ready for your mission now." And to which my response was, "Oh, God, one of those days." And suddenly my
vision... Please let my mission be a trip to Hooters. Is that what you were hoping?
And then my vision changed, and I could see the energetic grid of the building I was in. It was a hotel.
So is it almost like that? Is it almost like that green light laser, you know, like from Tron, that kind of grid pattern you can see?
Or if you've seen What the Bleep Do We Know,
right.
The blue grid at the end in the hotel, except it was full of holes. The geometry was broken. And I started asking questions and getting a download, and the initial answer was that human emotions have so much power that they shatter the grid and then are stored in the hole they create. So anything that happened in the building is still there. It's still running, it's still affecting people, and it's still attracting people who match that energy. Mm. So I talked to landlords, and they said, you know, the people change, but it's always the same family. They've always got the same money problems. They've always got the same drug problems. It's always the same story, just different people. And that makes perfect sense to me, because the only people that would live in a house with that particular resonance would be people who have the same thing going on.
So are you trying to convince people as a realtor to buy outside of their budget and get into a more wealthy home so that they're ready for this?
Well, what it means is there are houses...
That's like the law of attraction. I know it's kind of sarcastic, but it's true, right? If you open yourself up for
it. And the law of attraction actually works with ghosts, too. It's very interesting stuff. But if...
See, Nicole, they're attracted to you. We're going to talk to Nicole in a few minutes. She's got a ghost that's stalking her at home, so we'll talk to you about that in a second. But all right,
we can talk about that.
Sure.
But just to complete the thought. The quantum grid restructuring essentially is resetting a whole array of different grids to their original geometry, which means the stories no longer have a storage place. It's like reformatting a hard drive.
Okay.
And very often houses that don't attract anybody who's interested, or people are attracted to it and the deal won't go through, or people come to the open house and say, it's a great house, but, and then they can't tell you what really the but is. What's happening is they're responding to past events that are stored in the grid. And it might be responding to a ghost or something else, but frequently it's that the history of the building is freaking them out, but they don't have any psychic skills to sort it out, so they just go, oh, creepy place, I'm out of here. Mm. I think I hear my mom calling, kind of thing.
Right.
And
so what you're able to do is kind of grid this out and then reconnect the grid and flush out
I just reset all of that, and that combined with...
How long does that take you to do when you're resetting? And are you doing it psychologically? Are you doing it metaphysically? Are you leaving your body and rebuilding, or how does this work?
You know, I thought I knew until I started working with a gal who does similar work in Australia. Now, you talk about space and time not mattering. She's literally on the other side of the planet. And my experience is I see it in special effects in front of me, you know, in my mind's eye.
Okay.
She will call me in when she knows that I can do a better job on something than she can, which isn't very often because she's amazing. And she'll, you know, it's the middle of night in my life because we're on opposite sides of the planet, and she'll watch me walk around the building.
Hmm.
So her experience is that I'm there.
Gotcha.
My experience is that I see it in special effects. I've had one client that says they saw me in the building. So what level of reality, how many different things are going on simultaneously, and how are people tapping into it? I don't know. There is certainly some phenomenon that has to do with my consciousness being in another place in such a way that certain people can see that my consciousness is there.
Sure.
It's not what my experience is most of the time.
We have to take our one of our last breaks here. Stick with us. You're listening to David Farkas as our guest here on Darkness Radio. We'll be back with more, and we'll be bringing Nicole Remini on the line. Talk to her and see if maybe we can get her some help from you, David, on how to get rid of the creepy little lover ghost she has in her house that's interested in her. We'll be back with more. Welcome back to Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. In the studio with me, Mr. Tim Dennis, and joining us, We've brought her back from the light, Tim. Nicole Remini is with us in studio.
Hello.
We brought her in for first hour. We had her on her phone talking to
Marianne.
Yeah, Marianne Winkowski. And Marianne told you that you have a young male ghost in your house.
Right.
Hey, now.
In your house. Suddenly
my
I'm
house.
All Canadian. Yeah, you got a ghost in your house, yeah.
My house.
And that he's kind of stalkering you. He's hanging out with you. He
right.
likes to see you in the shower and such.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
So David, with this, now she's a little unnerved by this. You know, first of all, she has a little child ghost in her house.
Little girl.
She's got this male ghost in her house, and the girl ghost seems to be following her, and this male ghost. Now, how can somebody like this, who's suddenly unnerved by the fact that they have somebody in their house watching them, is there something, are there precautions that we can just take as an everyday person, or do we really need the intervention of a David Farkas to come in and clear the pathways?
It depends on the situation. Is
okay.
this a very, Nicole, is this, let me ask you just a few questions. Is
okay.
this a very old house?
No.
How old is it?
Maybe 15 years old.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's
she's,
about 20
She's just
minutes.
A very hot woman. So is a male I mean, ghost chasing her. See how
so,
it works?
You know, that happens a lot.
Uh-huh.
You know, people will say, you know, the basement's a little weird, but the only one who's having an experience of it is my son's girlfriend.
I'll right.
go, she's cute, right? And I'll go, why? I said, because this tells me that it's a male ghost who likes good-looking women, and he's not coming out for you. He's not interested. Because they still have the personality they had in that lifetime because they haven't gone to the other side and gone back to being...
Which is what Marianne just said in the first hour, yeah.
Right. Well, she used the word stalker is what kind of freaked me out about it.
Well, that's because
you know,
he likes...
There may be that quality because... He may have been doing similar things.
That's what freaks me out about it.
Well, other than, what's your experience?
Well, honestly, I've just kind of felt him. I felt another presence in the house. You know, kind of hair standing up on the back of my neck type of thing. But more experience with the little girl. Where she's waking me up at night. Or I feel someone standing at the foot of my bed or the side of my bed, and I immediately jump up thinking that maybe one of the kids are out of bed.
Yep.
And nobody's there.
The experience of being awakened by a ghost while you're sleeping is extremely common. And one of the things that's also extremely common is feeling the bed move.
Yeah, I have had that happen.
Right, which totally blows my mind because that's not them doing it intentionally. It's their memory of what their body would have done if they sat on the bed.
Okay, that's interesting.
Which violates all the laws of physics and everything else. It's like, oh, now we've got something to work with here.
Breaking
right.
the law. Breaking the law.
Yeah, exactly. So what do I do? I mean, are you able to see even my situation?
I'm actually right now trying to take a quick look. I usually have to get quiet, but I can usually get some answers.
Okay.
Well, you go ahead and get quiet. We'll talk to Nicole here for a second. When you feel the stuff, I mean, do you ever feel threatened or spooked by this, or do you just feel like there's just something here?
I just feel like there's some. I think I've been feeling things like this my whole life, so it doesn't scare me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've been pretty open to it. That even, like I said, as a child, I told you this out at the state fair, that my mother always confirmed it for me. Yes, I heard that too. Yes, I know you felt that. So I always felt it was okay.
Do your other siblings have that innate mm-hmm. ability? Or
no.
Maybe they just don't talk about it?
No one's ever talked about it, but mm-hmm. we're a pretty open family. Nobody's ever talked about that. It seems that my mother and I are the only two that have those experiences.
But you don't...
Nope. Okay, I have a little more information for you.
All right. I'm scared.
And the answer is yes, I can clear it.
I love you. Are you single?
that's the work I do. I clear buildings and land and people and businesses, and
okay.
I do it all remotely. So this is exactly what I do.
I thought David was going to say his work was being single.
I was going to say.
Yeah, it's hard to be totally single when you have a teenage daughter, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Your house is on top of a number of geopathic, you know, underground energetic issues.
Okay.
There's underground streams that go directly under the building and cross. There are ley lines, which are kind of energy meridians. If you think of the energy meridians in the human body, these are the meridians of the earth.
Okay.
And where they cross, there are vortexes formed. So depending on whether there are two positive lines crossing or positive and negative lines or two negatives. So churches and power spots and ritual sites all over the world tend to be built on the crossing spots of positive lines over water.
Okay. Yeah, we do have about a church about every four blocks in our neighborhood.
So you may there may be a major ley line right down the middle of the town or something.
Okay.
But there are two intersections like that, one right inside the house, one outside. Those will tend to be places where ghosts and other things can go back and forth. It's also a power spot, so there's more energy there, and they like the energy. You, as somebody who is very spiritual and has some background in this, also are a really bright light.
Okay.
So they're looking for the light, looking for the light. They see you go, oh, cool.
Right.
You know, so indigo kids, all these new children that are coming in that are just incredibly intense, bright lights, have ghosts around them all the time, and they need to learn what to do about it. Because everything's going to be attracted to that light because of the power and the power source and the energy of it. There's also a space-time anomaly called a broken spirit unit or a ghost trap, which essentially is, as the ghosts are trying to go to the light, something gets in the way.
Right.
It can be technology, it can be an earthquake or something else that broke the grid, you know, the grids I was talking about before. And they just lose the light, they get lost. And a whole bunch of them wind up being there because they're all going on the same path, going the same place. And suddenly space-time shatters, and there's this weird spot where these ghosts are lost. So typically, a psychic who doesn't know about that isn't going to find them because, in effect, they're not there.
Right.
And somebody told me about that, and I find them everywhere.
So now and so do you see mine from where you are?
Well, I have a list of questions that I ask, and I get yes-no answers.
Okay.
And numbers. So by the numbers, I know that. I also sketched out your house and did a little sketch of a map of your house to
okay.
see where the ley lines were and things. So if I was going to do this for you, I would ask you for a couple of pictures of the house.
Okay.
And I would do a Google Earth satellite photo.
Okay.
And then I've got a map from, for, you know. A lot of people don't like doing that. They feel it colors the work. My feeling is the more data I get, the better.
Sure.
And since I do this automatic drawing thing, my hand will mark out where things are.
Okay.
So you've got a few ghosts, and you've got, you know, these other issues, and they can be cleared. You know?
Fantastic.
And if it helps you, Nicole, Tim and I will come over and hang out with you whenever you feel frightened.
I can clear a room in a heartbeat.
You've seen Tim at parties. The rooms clear very fast.
Well, you know, it gets really funny when my friends call me from hotel rooms.
Right.
Yeah, I bet.
I can't sleep. And yeah.
That's
well,
funny.
Now, how can people reach out to you, David, if we've got about a minute and a half left on the show? How can people reach out to you, and how can you help them out?
Well, the easiest way is through the website, www.househealing.com. And on the contact page is all the rest of my contact information. Email address is david@househealing.com. And my voicemail is 866-4. And then my last name, Farkas, F as in Frank, A-R-K-A-S as in Sam.
Well, I'm calling you later for sure.
Now, just so we know, so people do know this as well, there is a fee that's involved in doing house clearings because you are putting your time in. You're not necessarily charging to clear the ghost. You're charging for your time that you put into doing the work to help these people, right?
Right. I do a lot of planetary stuff and a lot of pro bono stuff, but in order for me to be doing this for a living, I need to charge substantial fees. And especially since I work with a lot of businesses and realtors, where they're making money based on my clearing the building so the building will
sure.
sell. So, yes, there is a fee for it.
All right, good deal. And you're giving a special discount to all Darkness Radio listeners from your normal $10,000 fee down to much less, right?
Well, I haven't ever charged 10,000, but there are a couple of
I'm trying to give you help here. You're supposed to go, yeah, from 10,000 down to, see, that's your deal.
Well, I'm happy to give a 10% discount.
Well, thank you very much for joining us, David, and I do hope people will check out your website, and, you know, we'd love to have you on the show and talk to you more about this in the future.
I'd love to do that. Thanks for inviting me, Dave.
Thank you very much, and thank you all for tuning in. We'll be back again next week with brand new shows and more movies.